someone asked me if I was of Asian descent yesterday.
I could see that.
See, it's not the first time I've gotten that, but it just, I don't see it.
I know what they mean, just because I've seen your face for many, many years.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm glad to know it wasn't totally out of the blue. I'm like, do you think I'm someone else, or are you not actually looking at me when you talk to me? So anyway, this is Cults of Our Lives.
It is.
It's good to talk to you again. It's been a few weeks.
I know, it's been a while.
Speaking of races and everything, today we're going to be talking about the Nation of Yahweh.
We are. So this is an interesting one.
It really is, because when you look it up, when you type the words Nation of Yahweh into Google, the predictive text brings up Black Supremacist Group.
Yes.
Which I have never heard that phrase before.
A Black Supremacist Group?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this the Nation of Yahweh is all sorts of things. So it's been called a Black Supremacist Group, a hate group, and a cult. And it really fits into all three categories, so talk about a triple threat.
I do know the Southern Poverty Law Center calls it a cult and a hate group, and they are one of the experts in our country on that sort of thing.
They are not wrong.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the background here. As with all good cults, it usually starts with one man.
Oh, goody. So, I love that.
Some things are steadfast. Hulan Mitchell Jr. was born on October 27th, 1935.
Indeed. So he, like many cult leaders we know and love, was the son of a reverend.
Whoop, there it is.
All right, so let's go.
So
1979, Miami, Florida. Just saying that, I'm already, like, slightly nauseated.
You guys know how we feel about Florida on this podcast.
Yeah, so he founds the Nation of Yahweh.
Now, the Nation of Yahweh is part of sort of an umbrella term called the Black Israelite Movement.
Tell me about that, Hal.
So the Black Israelite Movement in general, its goal is to move African Americans, whom they see as the original Israelites, back to Israel. They believe that Black people are the chosen people, and not Black people, especially white people, are the devil. Now, this is a pretty common belief, both in African American groups and white groups have it in reverse, that white people are the chosen ones. You know, the racism we're much more familiar with.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely see the white supremacist movements, probably, I would say, more frequently in today's world.
Mm-hmm. The Nation of Yahweh differs from a lot of other Judaism, Christianity, other Black Israelite groups, because instead of believing that Jesus is the Son of God or the Son of God hasn't come yet, they said that Hulan Mitchell Jr. was the Son of God. He changed his name to Yahweh Ben Yahweh, which literally translates into God, the Son of God.
And he erected the Temple of Love in Miami.
Which, okay, when I hear that, I think of a brothel.
I just think of, like, the summer of love. How, like, chill it is. Everyone's, like, having sex and smoking weed, and then, but this Temple of Love is not that kind of fun temple.
So, Yahweh believed that his purpose as this Messiah was to vanquish whites.
Yep.
And he started a group within the Nation of Yahweh, like a subgroup, an inner circle called the Brotherhood.
Yes, he did. He did indeed.
Now, the Brotherhood was sort of just his inner members who they would talk all about their ideas of how to get rid of all the white people.
Brotherhood was mostly like older men within the group.
He and his inner circle would choose your clothes, your food, they would dictate your sex life.
Just because it is a cult run by a man that, you know, it has to fit into the mold.
Yeah.
He would, of course, sleep with all of his young female followers, telling the New York Times with a shit-eating grin, "We may be rabbis and nuns here, but we don't believe in celibacy."
Ew.
Yeah.
That's just, I cannot imagine a not creepy way to say that.
Yeah, and the fact that he was like, had a huge smile on when he said that, it just like makes my skin crawl.
It's very creepy. He was...
And you know that some of those ladies who, like, had to sleep with him are, like, still around today and probably scarred forever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He himself, Yahweh, was married twice and divorced twice, just like our so-called president. And, you know, I think men who have been divorced twice are the best, most stable decision makers.
It's just... What is life?
So, the Brotherhood had an initiation process.
Oh, did they?
So, that's gonna lead us into our notable craziness.
Indeed. I've been listening to this new podcast that I really love called Small Town Murder.
Mm-hmm.
And the two guys who run it, they also have another podcast that they promote on that show called Crime in Sports. Mm-hmm. Which is basically, they just talk about, like, athletes who are also criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I've been listening to Small Town Murder a lot. Like, I love to listen to it while I cook, and I just, like, I love it. But then I'm like, alright, I'll give Crime and Sports a try. And this was before I had even started doing the research on this podcast, even though we had already decided this was what, I mean, on this episode, even though we had already picked the Nation of Yahweh as our cult.
Uh-huh.
And just randomly, I chose the episode about Robert Rozier, and my mind was blown.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Robert Rozier.
Let's talk about him.
Now, Robert Rozier was a former NFL defensive end.
Yes, so he played 6 games in total before he was kicked out of the NFL due to drug issues.
I was reading an article that they had written about him in the LA Times about 10 years ago. He was a disaster just his whole life. He had a 1.3 GPA in high school.
Yeah.
And so he dropped out but then he wanted a degree because you can't play for the NFL unless you have a high school diploma. So this other guy did what they do with so many athletes where they just threw him into class and gave him a bunch of Mickey Mouse courses, which are just like super easy, impossible to fail classes. They just hold your hand the whole time. They just let you get through school without any work because they want you to play football. So he gets to the NFL, plays 6 games, kicked out, kind of adrift. So in 1982, he learns about the Nation of Yahweh right before he has to serve a 6-month sentence related to his drug problems.
Yes. So after he is released from prison, he moves into the temple, taking the name Naria Israel. Naria?
I was going to say Naraya.
Naraya Israel. Let's go with that. Which means child of God.
And you...
And how... Why don't you tell us just how he was initiated into the group?
When I think of initiation, I think of frats. I think of people drinking so much they have to go to the hospital. Or...
Yeah.
Sexting or posting something stupid online. Now,
or dressed up as Julie Andrews.
That was great. I think I mentioned that on this podcast. As part of a hazing ritual while I was living in London, I saw a bunch of frat members dressed up as Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the Nation of Yahweh could have gone that route and it would have been great, but instead, Yahweh ben Yahweh commanded people in the Brotherhood that they had to kill white people to be allowed into the Brotherhood.
They had to kill a white devil. Yahweh wanted them to bring back a piece of the body, which, like, what the fuck?
That's like a mob boss thing.
Yeah. Oh.
So...
Ew, it's so horrible.
Rozier took this to heart. He killed 7 white people and cut off all of their ears. 6 of these...
I believe one of them he cut off the head. Because... Actually, I think two people he cut off their heads. But then he was like, how the fuck am I gonna transport 2 heads from, like, wherever I am now to Yahweh ben Yahweh? So he just removed the ears because they were smaller.
And that ultimately is what got him caught, because when you are a serial killer, you start to develop a pattern. And the police were like, well, we're looking for someone who's cutting off people's ears. Like, this is clearly all being done by one person.
Okay, here's the thing. I think on our notes it says he killed 7 white people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he actually may have killed, like, a member of the group who either, like, had displeased Yahweh ben Yahweh or was trying to leave or something. Because I remember in the podcast I was listening to from the Crime and Sports guys saying, like, the police started suspecting a serial killer because all these white people were showing up with their ears cut off and they're like, holy shit. And then a black person showed up with their ear cut off and they're like, what? That doesn't fit the, like, fit the mold.
Interesting.
So, six of these murders were carried out under Yahweh's orders, or just for Yahweh. But then the seventh was just some, like, panhandler who was annoying Robert Rozier. And at this point, I guess he was too into it.
I think, yeah, you've killed six people. There's really, you don't have a limit anymore.
You're not going to really blink at number seven, you know?
So on October 31st, 1986, 4 years after he joined the cult and had committed all these murders, he is arrested and subsequently sentenced to 22 years in prison, although he only serves 10. In 1996, just after Stassi's first birthday, he joins the Witness Protection Program with the name Robert Ramses, but then he starts to pass bad checks and is convicted for fraud.
Yes, so under the Third Strike Law, he is now serving 25 years to life in Mule Creek State Prison, and I hope he never gets out, because why would you fucking let a serial killer out? I knew they were a goddamn serial killer. Like, don't put them in witness protection, just fucking keep them in prison and let them rot there. He fucking killed seven people.
Stassi has written in a bullet point in all capitals, do not let serial killers out ever. There is no reason. And I co-sign that.
Yeah. It just blows my mind. The release of violent offenders is just so fucking crazy to me.
And meanwhile, our prisons are full of non-violent drug offenders because they were caught with marijuana one time.
Because the prison system is deeply flawed and
racist.
Evil and racist and awful, and I hate it.
We'll have another podcast someday called What the Fuck, talking about prisons.
That's good.
Working title.
Let's brainstorm that after this episode.
We'll workshop it and get back to you.
Where are they now?
Obviously, because Robert Rozier. Is that how we were saying that?
I think his name's Robert Rozier.
Robert Rozier was a NFL player. There was a lot of notoriety when everyone was like, holy shit, he's a serial killer. So the Nation of Yahweh came under a lot of scrutiny in the 1990s, a lot of legal trouble, especially Yahweh ben Yahweh himself. He was convicted on a murder conspiracy charge, so basically, you know, planning and ordering his cronies to commit murder. Was actually the only thing he was ever convicted of.
Yeah.
Although he was indicted on 18 specific charges, including racketeering, 14 killings, 2 attempted killings, extortion, and arson. He was acquitted of first-degree murder charges in 1992. He ended up serving 11 out of 18 years on the conspiracy charge. He is released in 2001. On parole, goes back to Miami, but he is not allowed to contact any of his former members via telephone, computer, radio, or TV.
Yes. So, at this point, he has prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, fine. Fuck this guy. But his attorney, Jane Weintraub, petitions the U.S. District Court to, quote, let him die with dignity and release him from his parole. Which at first, the U.S. District Court was like, fuck no, but then they're like, fine. Which I'm kind of like, why didn't they just, like, stick with the fuck no? Like, fuck this guy.
Honestly.
He doesn't deserve to die with dignity. He's responsible for at least 14 deaths.
Yeah, I think if you're a serial killer, if you've taken someone else's life, you lose the right to die with dignity.
Yeah, you have no dignity. You're not even a person at that point. You're a fucking disgusting, nothing. You're nothing.
So, Yahweh ben Yahweh, birth name Hulin Mitchell Jr., died on May 7th, 2007, at the age of 71 from his prostate cancer.
Rotten hell.
All right.
So,
do you want to talk about one of his followers?
There is a follower of the group by the name of Maurice Woodside, who also goes by the name Michael Simonette, and Michael the Black Man.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Some of you presidential campaign rallies, as he was often seen standing right behind Trump with a sign that reads Blacks for Trump and a t-shirt that says Trumps and Republicans are not racist.
So, buddy.
This guy, was not convicted for allegedly sticking a shark stick into a man's eyeball. He was charged for Grand Theft Auto, carrying a weapon onto a plane, and threatening a law enforcement officer, but again, never convicted.
Now, was this happening after Orange Rapist became president?
No, I believe these charges were before. But currently, he's working in Miami as an anti-gay, anti-liberal preacher, and he's even opened for one of Rick Santorum's rallies, so you know he's in with the good people.
So yeah, you can tell this is a group that just, it churns out some of our country's brightest stars.
Just, you know, the best.
Now, it's very funny, just because I was making fun of Rick Santorum just today.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, we were just...
should be part of everyone's daily diet.
I was chatting about how he wears sweater vests and when he smiles, he looks like a chipmunk.
What a dick.
Ugh. May they all have just the worst day today.
How? I have to say, I love doing this podcast with you, but by the end of every episode, I feel enraged at all the shitty men who ruin things.
You know what? I have been feeling like that all weekend, and it is in large part because I saw Wonder Woman this weekend.
I heard it wasn't great.
I enjoyed it.
I could see you enjoying it.
Because you think I have no taste?
Did I say that?
Shut up!
You just seem like a Wonder Woman type lady.
I don't need your derision.
I was, however, laughing when your sister started screaming. That was funny.
Yes, well, a lot of people laugh because they get to walk away.
I'm 300 miles away. It's not affecting my life.
Some of us have her as a sister for the rest of our lives.
Oh, lucky you.
Some of us are duty bound to give her bone marrow or one of our kidneys, should she need them.
Only if she earns it.
Well, I have two other siblings. I'll have to decide who deserves my bone marrow and kidneys.
They definitely get top billing before she does.
I don't know. They've been little dicks lately.
They are going through puberty.
One of them yelled at me the other night that I was lying to him because he couldn't find cookies that we had in a box. And he's like, Hallie, where...
sounds like a pubescent boy.
He's like, Hallie, where are the cookies? I was like, I think they're on the bottom shelf. He's like, they're not there. Why are you lying to me?
What a... wow.
And then he threw a remote at my face because he was displeased with the movie on TV.
Wow. I'm so glad that my sister's only 2 years younger than me and, like, that's all I ever had to deal with.
Also, you and your sister are best friends.
Yeah, but I mean, growing up, we were not.
Well,
we are now, but growing up, it was, like, a lot different.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I liked Wonder Woman just because they have these awesome fight scenes at the beginning, and she's on this island with all these, like, Amazon women, and you don't realize how often movies just have men in the background until there aren't any. Like, there was a scene where all the guards were women, and all the people selling stuff, and, like, a market were women, and literally every character was a woman, and you're like, why does this look so strange to me? They don't usually let more than two of us on screen at a time. So I liked that.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll have to check it out before I judge.
Plus, it wasn't that whole grim, dark thing that all superhero movies are into now.
Oh, it wasn't super dark, you said?
Yeah, one, just, like, visually it was very bright and beautiful, but also it was fun.
Good, we could use more fun movies. Let's finish up this cult and then recommend some shit.
That really was the cult, to be honest. The organization
some little things I'd like to pepper in at the end, if you could.
Share the two little fun facts you got here.
Alright. So, Yahweh Ben Yahweh's sister, Leona Mitchell, is a soprano who is staying at the Metropolitan Opera House.
I wonder how she feels about all of this.
Oh my god, I thought that was so funny. I'd never heard of her, but now I'm gonna, like, look her up on YouTube.
If Stassi hears the word soprano, her, like, ears just perk up.
Uh-huh, I'm like a little dog. Xavier Suarez, which, let's be honest, is, like, the suavest name I've ever heard of.
Xavier Suarez sounds like a name someone makes up when they're trying to seem like a Latin telenovela star.
No, I was gonna say it's like the Hispanic version of James Bond.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
You know?
Holy shit.
He was the mayor of Miami, at the time Yahweh Ben Yahweh, like before he was arrested, so early 90s. And he declared October 7th, 1990, to be Yahweh Ben Yahweh Day. Because Yahweh Ben Yahweh had been doing a lot of, like, charity work in the community, blah, blah, blah.
That's, I guess the moral of the story is never trust anyone.
Yeah.
Because they could be a crazy cult leader.
Because you'll have to sleep with an old man, and no one likes that.
No one should have to sleep with an old man.
No.
Ugh, lordy. So, Wonder Woman wasn't actually my recommendation. It's still a pretty good one, but I have another one. Do you have any recommendations?
My recommendation was I was going to recommend the podcast, Small Town Murder.
Nice. It's on...
I already mentioned, but I will give them another shout-out, because I think they're doing good work. They're really interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
I guess my other one is the Tonys were this past weekend, which is one of my favorite days of the year.
Ah, Tony Day.
Tony Day, the day that I kick everyone else out of the living room because they get to watch basketball games all year, and this is my one basketball game.
Yeah, that is true.
And there was a new musical that I had not heard of at all. It was called Come From Away, and it's the... It's the true story of how on 9/11, 38 planes that were supposed to land in New York were diverted to Newfoundland, Canada.
Okay.
And 7,000 people were stranded in Gander, Newfoundland, which is this tiny little town that suddenly its population tripled. And they were there for 5 days, and they were from 17 countries. And it's just a beautiful story, and it's true, about how these people, these Canadian people, without even hesitating, just opened their homes and their towns and made enough food for all these people and found a way to communicate and help them out and get them phones so their families could know they were okay. And
then amazing.
It was a true story, and one, it makes you tear up because it really reminds you about just, like,
being... Just the good side of humanity.
Exactly. We were talking about the rage of it, but I really love when people put aside the bullshit politics of being from different countries and just sort of help each other out as humans.
That's really inspiring.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful show, and I highly recommend listening to it on Spotify. So that's my gushing about the musicals. Cult of Our Lives on Facebook. Find us. We're a good group. We've got like 50 people now. We have some of the mods that I added to who have been doing a great job keeping things organized. So I thank all of you girls. I think you're all girls. I'm sorry if you're not. Eartha, CJ, and Celeste.
What? Oh my god, Eartha, CJ, and like a band.
Eartha, CJ, and Celeste sound like a Spice Girls band, but earthier.
I wonder what makes it sound so earthy.
Ha ha. Alright. Stay excellent, guys.
And, God, what do I say? Be careful. It's a jungle out there.